Precious, wonderful Heavenly Father, we're glad for your presence. We're thankful for these that have come to be with us. We ask that your blessings be upon the service this morning and upon the services tonight. And go with our people through the day. Help them to be God conscious and help them to be a real testimony. And Lord, let us not be hypocritical, but let us be the same as Jesus yesterday, today, and forever. That whether we're in the sanctuary or whether we're out among the people, wherever we're at, Lord, that we're holy and godly and true and pure in our thoughts and our conversation and in our desire. Lord, as a loyal wife that's married unto a husband, Father, that wherever she should go, she'd never allow her thoughts, Father, to think anything, Lord, as anything of anyone in any way, except as you would have it, Heavenly Father. So then we pray that you'd be with us, bless us, save, forgive, heal, do these wonderful things for us. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen. You can be seated. All right, let's talk about the Lord. They've got a song that we recorded many years ago for Jill Record Company called Talk About Jesus. So let's talk about Jesus. I want to talk about him a little bit. You know, I love to hear folks sing. I love to try to sing and I love to write songs because the Lord just puts them in my heart and they come out. So I love to do that. That, as in the Old Testament, the singers would go before the Ark of the Covenant. And many times when people like Moses and great leaders was going to get a word from God as to prophesy, the minstrels would play on the timbrels and create an atmosphere. And this atmosphere would be just what they needed to pick up the inspiration to where they could prophesy, have the anointing of God on them. So I love the singing and praises of the Lord, singing praises to the Lord. And then that makes way for the Word of God. And the Word of God, whether it's in song or whether you're preaching or whatever, this is what we need. This is what we need. For with the Word of God, we find life, we find healing, we find the desire of our heart. The Bible said He sent His Word and healed them. And by His Word, He cast out the unclean spirits. He created everything by His Word, and He upholds His Word, and He tells us in His Word that heaven and earth will pass away. Not may pass away, but it will pass away. For the Bible said the heavens being on fire shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and all therein shall utterly be burned up. The elements will dissolve. As to the chemical reactions of the bums and whatever we see in our day, it's a positive proof that the Bible is right, because that's exactly what happens. But anyway, he said, heaven and earth will pass away, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Chapter 16, if you've got your Bibles, let's read right here to begin with. Verse 16, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. Reading just a little bit there, we can see that the law and the prophets were until John. This is something we really need to consider. The Bible says that when John saw this woman that was travailing in birth, over in the book of Revelation, it's recorded, Revelation 12. He said he saw this great wonder in heaven. This woman was in heaven when this was taking place. He saw a heavenly scene. And this woman was travailing in birth to bring forth her child. And the Bible says that at the time the woman was in travail, that there was a dragon, a red dragon, that was standing ready to devour the child just as quick as it was born into, we say, the world, or there it was into this heavenly place. And the Bible said that just as quick as the child was born, before the dragon could devour the child was caught up into heaven, up to God's throne. And it said the woman went into a wilderness, which makes us to understand what perspective of heaven that was. But here, we see a heavenly perspective, and immediately we don't associate that with a wilderness. We don't know how that a wilderness could get into heaven. And it said this woman was in heaven. So a lot of times I speak of the first heaven, the second heaven, and the third heaven. And then I try to go back and detail things as to make you understand what I'm saying, so that you won't go wild in your thoughts and run off and say, Brother Pike said such and such. But that you might sincerely, that is you who want to listen, sincerely, might sincerely hear and understand, giving the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. All that is taking heed how that you hear. So I try to detail things. And when I say first heaven, second heaven, third heaven, there are people that would mock. They would mock what I'm saying because they are without understanding. And they say, first heaven and second heaven and third heaven, you know, there's nothing but heaven, and if you get there, okay. If you don't get there, well, that's just it, you know. But nevertheless, it is a true fact that it's like I told you. The Bible said that Paul was caught up into the third heaven, saw things that it was not permitted for human beings to utter. So then, there is a third heaven. And now here John is, he's looking. And he's looking into heaven. And he sees a great wonder in heaven, the Bible tells us. A woman in travail and a red dragon also in heaven. Now someone would say, well, that was heaven, Brother Pike. That's the only heaven there is. But the Bible says that when the child was born, it was caught up to the throne, which indicates another heaven, another place. That is the place where the red dragon cannot go. And the red dragon, of course, has to do with human beings. They're called a generation of vipers. They're the membership of the devil, sons and daughters of Belial. And they are in the earth because Lucifer sowed the seed that was bad, and they spring up from that as tares. So then I say again, God sowing the good seed in the garden. There was nothing but the garden. The Bible said the field, which is the world. Man made out of the dust. God breathed into him and he became a living soul. And that was the good seed. And there wasn't any bad seed, just Adam and Eve. That's all. And they were sown by God. But then when Satan came, the enemy came, as Jesus gave the parable. When the enemy came, when Satan came, he subdued Eve's thoughts and understanding. He enticed her. He drawed her away from her steadfastness in God. And that in doing this, he deceived her, beguiled her, and then through the woman, he brought forth the seed of corruption. He brought forth the seed of the tear, which put the evil ones in the earth. For as it was said in the parable, mine enemy hath done this. They said, did not you sow good seed in the field? From whence then comes the tares? And he said, mine enemy has done this. And I let them grow together and I leave them alone until they grow up and bring forth their harvest. And then I'll cut them down. And I'll bundle the tares together and I'll cast them into the fire. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I'll cast them into a furnace of fire. And then he said, the good seed I'll gather together. Or I'll gather it into the garners. I'll send the angels, the reapers, the end of the world, the harvest. So we can see that there is a conflict in the world. And that the seed of the enemy is causing the conflict. And that conflict is a continual warfare between your body and your soul. And we'll try to explain just a little bit. So then, Satan sowed the bad seed. It was Lucifer that sowed the bad seed, not God. God didn't have anything to do with it. The coming of the bad seed automatically caused Adam and Eve to lose their place in the garden. There was an expulsion because the bad seed could not stay in the garden. And it was said concerning Adam and Eve, when the corruption came, though Adam was not in the transgression, being symbolic of Christ and the woman being symbolic of the church world, she was in the transgression. So then it was said, after that they had partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, now lest man put forth his hand and partake of the tree of life, and then it stops. And then they were put out of the garden. Well, that is to say, now lest man, who hath let Satan enter into his life, put forth his hand and partake of the tree of life, lest we put him out of the garden, he will do that and he will live forever and Satan will own this world throughout eternity. Because man cannot die and the devil's in him and the devil will keep on controlling things throughout eternity. Or that is to say, lest he put forth his hand, partake of the tree of life, get him out of the garden. Now, I'd like to say something here that might help the situation a little bit. There's a teaching that's going through the land that says the tree of knowledge and the tree of life was one and the same, which is not true. It's not true at all. In the garden was the tree of life, and in the garden was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They are not the same. See, if it had been the same, why would God have said, now, lest man put forth his hand and partake of the tree of life? He obviously would already have partaken of the tree of life if they'd been one and the same. Because he had partaken of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, we don't have time to really elaborate on that to explain it, but it just shows that you can strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. One thing is true, that since the tares has been sown in the field, which is the world, that all the way from the garden down to Calvary, that tree of intellectual reasoning continued to grow as seed from Adam, all the tare as in Adam all die. And when John came, John laid the axe to the root of the tree. He cut down that family tree of knowledge, of intellectual knowledge of good and evil. Cut it down all the way back to the garden. In that the law was folded up and laid away at Calvary. The law and the prophets continued until Calvary. But when Jesus came, they called him a bastard child. Because he was to be symbolic, or that is, he was to come in the image of sin, or the bastard child that had come through the fall in the garden as from the serpent. So then Jesus came to be the serpent seed as to the image of sin, though he was sinless, though he was perfect. He was the lamb without spot and blemish. Yet he came to be that image so that God could smite him. He came in the fullness of time so that God could smite him. And when God smote him, that meant that that was the end of the bastard child and the reproduction that's from Adam. As in Adam all die, that was the end, God smiting that, because it was a betrayal, it was harlotry, and it was not his image, and so he smote it, and that ended it. So the law and the prophets had to do with that era of time. And when it comes down to Calvary, we find Jesus standing on the Mount of Transfiguration with the law and the prophets, as to Moses and as to Elijah, which I told you not too long ago had to do allegorically with Samson standing between the pillars. Standing between the pillars. For as it was with several thousand people that Samson killed when he pulled the pillars down, so it is that with the church, there were several thousand people that was added to the church when Jesus came, showing the restoration of that which was right, and he, as God's Samson, pulled the law and the prophets down to this extent that he fulfilled all of it. And when someone said, "Let us build three tabernacles," the voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." That is to say, there's only one tabernacle. That's the body of Jesus, the tabernacle of God. John said in the book of Revelation, he saw it, said it's among men. And God tabernacled in the body of Jesus in the fullness. So then, God in Jesus, the Bible said to wit that God was in Jesus, reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing the trespasses unto them. So then, he said, "This is my Son, in whom I am pleased to dwell," as to the original rendering. Alright, so then we see then that the tares was cut down. The law was folded up and laid away. Love God in Jesus fulfilled the law. I said every jot and tittle. For he said heaven and earth shall pass away. But he said concerning the law and the prophets, or concerning the word, not one jot and a tittle would pass till all be fulfilled. So then, here we see that love worketh no ill to its neighbor. Love does not cheat. Love does not covet. Love is no murderer. See, whatever the law says that thou shalt not do, love automatically doesn't do it, and it fulfills that as to your heart. Whereas Paul used this term when he said, "You have the law," speaking to the natural as to the Jew. None of you keep it. But said, when the Gentiles do by nature those things contained in the law, shall they not then be justified as they that keep the law? So then we see the marvelous thing that God did, and that Christ, or God, inside that human body of Jesus, he fulfilled his own law, because he was the only one who could measure up to it. So then, when it was passed on to us, Christ within us is our hope of that glory. A glory that Jesus appeared in on the Mount of Transfiguration. So we see a great, wonderful, marvelous thing that God has done, and done in the behalf of you and I. So then the tree was cut down, the family tree of knowledge of good and evil that had brought sin into the world was cut down. So you have to remember one thing, folks, and that is that when God created Adam and Eve, that all they knew was good. They had no knowledge of evil. And it was needful for them to fall if they were going on to become gods. They were created as a man and a woman. But if they were going to be equal with God, and if they were going on to the godship, then they had to fall. So then this was fixed to where they could make their choice. If they'd have made their choice the other way, then they'd just been man and woman, but they'd been in the garden and had been there. They wouldn't have had eternal life, but they had access to the tree of life. They had access to the tree of life. See, they had to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil before they even understood the tree of life. Because all they knew was good. and being present and God's Spirit overshadowing them, they would have had no need for anything. But that was not eternal life. God was eternal life. And the illumination of God over the individual, the body, made them to live forever as long as they were in that light. Being enticed from that light, then the wicked one got Eve, then the corruption came. Whereas I say again, it's not so with you and I today. Because you and I today have Christ on the inside. We can't be enticed out from under the grace. But the world can. Because the blood is on the seat of atonement. That means out there the sins of the world are gone. As to do in the spirit of time. That's why they live and they have all these things. That's speaking of heaven that we'll try to explain. See, but the thing is, they can be enticed out from under that. They can be religious, they can taste of the heavenly gift, be made partakers of the Holy Ghost, as to the Spirit being poured out upon all flesh, the rain on the tare and the wheat. And then being enticed out, they can go to those bodily degraded things. Satan, saving the things that be of the flesh, can program their minds so that they can wreck their lives or get out of the presence of God. See, so we've got to remember that the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is here. I preach to you the fullness of time, and a lot of times I know that some of you feel like you understand, and then I wonder if you really do. See, when I say the fullness of time has come, then that means that's the end of the world. And at the end of the world, that means Christ comes. And when Christ comes, that means that the kingdom of God is now here. See, so to you and I, the law and the prophets is folded up and laid away. And the kingdom of God came because the law and the prophets were until John. That ended time. That ended the world. Because the world is a constitution of time. So then when time ended, the world ended. Paul said, you're the people upon whom the ends of the world have come, which is evidently was, because Jesus in his parable said, the harvest is the end of the world. And he said, folks, the harvest is ripe. See, the end of the world was Calvary. From that time, it's been a harvest time for God. It's been a harvest time. The growing time was way back there, coming all the way down from the garden to Calvary. And then came the harvest. And if you'll read in the book of Revelation, you'll hear as that angel comes out and he stands on this cloud with his sharp sickle. A voice screams out and it says, thrust in thy sickle, for the harvest is ripe. We wrote a song, a lot of times they sing it. The harvest is ripe. Thrust in the sickle. See, the harvest is ripe. So then the law and the prophets until John, since that time the kingdom of God has been preached. Now let's make a little comparison. The woman in the book of Revelation, what is she doing? She's standing on the moon. She has a crown of 12 stars on her head. Her garment is the sun. She's clothed with the sun. Just like John saw Jesus in the midst of the candlesticks, saying that it was as though the sun shined within his strength. Now this woman in Revelation is clothed with the sun. There are the stars over her head. Just like America. Symbolic. But speaking of the Jew, got a twofold purpose, meaning. So then there's the woman. See, that is to say she's standing on the moon. The moon has to do with the lesser light, the veil light. The veil was over Moses' face. And this is her foundation, is where she's standing as to the Jew. She's travailing to bring forth her leader, which goes back to the Son of God. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, the Son of God came at Calvary. I know he came at Calvary, but he didn't come to the Jew. They said, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Said, my kingdom's not of this world. Though he did bring the kingdom, but he brought the spiritual kingdom as Christ to a spiritual Jew, a spiritual head. But not the natural kingdom, as to say, Revelation 15, the sounding of the last trumpet. Revelation 11:15.
when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. Like when we sent the flag to Mr. Reagan. He said, I feel like I'm coming in and the world's going out. And I said, Mr. Bush had to do with the new. Jimmy, Mr. Reagan, Mr. Bush. But anyway, take all day just to get into a few things of what we're trying to say. But see, this woman, she was clothed with the sun. Just like Adam and Eve, the Shekinah over Adam and Eve. Just like it was back there with Israel, God was with Israel. Like Joshua said, don't send me up to battle, let your presence go before me. See, the cloud was there by day and the pillar of fire by night. Fire brings light. That's what the sun is, a day star, pillar of fire. So then, it was different with you and I. It's not a matter of us being clothed with the sun. The Bible said concerning Jesus, we are bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. It was as though the sun shined from within Him, within His strength. This light most precious, which is the Spirit of God, the Word Spirit, unveiled, revelation, breaking forth as the mind of God in us from glory to glory to make our face shine as wisdom maketh the man's face to shine as it was with Stephen's, had with the others. So then there's a difference. See, and immediately when this woman travailed, immediately, a child was born, and the child went up to the throne. See, Israel has never yet travailed. She's never gone through the tribulation period yet. He said, I'll make them to go through the fire. Some saved as if by fire. I'll make them to go through the fire. I'll put Israel through the fire because they gave their children to the fire. The fire God. So then, that is the travail about the middle of the week of the last week of Daniel. All of a sudden, Israel goes into a travail. When they go into a travail, Jesus appears with the nail prints in His hands. And they say, where did you get these? And He says, in the house of my friends. That is, when she travail, the Bible says, who hath ever heard of such a thing? A nation brings forth in one day. Shall a nation be born in one day? As to a headship, yes. If the head comes, then the body is alive. Without the head, it's dead. When they rejected Jesus back there, they died out of the presence of God. Paul said, if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead? So then we see that approaching now. We see the resurrection coming. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. So then Israel travails, Jesus appears, the child appears, and immediately the whole nation is born. They weep, they cry, and they become a nation. See now, I said that to say this. As quick as that child is born, it's caught up to the throne. Immediately, it's caught up to the throne. Which means this child being born goes right over as Israel, over the tribulation period, and immediately sets down in the throne like Noah's ark riding over the waters of wrath. And then sits down in the throne in the millennium to rule for 1,000 years. And everything subjected to it. So then, here's the woman. When the travail comes, a child is born, is caught up. Now let's differentiate just a little bit. Here is a travail. The child and the woman is one. And then the child is born and the woman and the child is separated at the opening of the matrix. So then at this, that relates back to Calvary. See, because the woman goes into the wilderness. Because just like Jesus immediately, after He travails and brings forth the Christ, as to the church, then He's folded up as a garment, laid into the earth, which means the woman going into the wilderness. Jesus isn't dead to the extent that He had the ability to lay down His life and take it up. So see, here's the woman going into the wilderness. You know there's no wilderness in heaven. And the Bible doesn't say anything about her being cast out of heaven. It said the devil was cast out, the old dragon was cast out of heaven, which means the blood comes off the seat of atonement there in the middle of the week, the 8th chapter of the book of Revelation, the wrath of God in the earth. See, that is to say the blood comes off the seat of atonement because the blood, as long as it's on the mercy seat out there, everybody, murderers, it doesn't matter who,
They've got that grace. See, they've got that grace. The only people can do anything with a murderer is the law. God just, he lets him go. You understand what I'm saying? Now, he doesn't go unpunished. But what I'm saying is this, when the blood comes off of the seat of atonement, then the world, the red dragon, the generation of vipers, is on the outside. They are in an intellectual darkness. There's no healing medicines. They gnaw their tongues for pain. Because Satan is personified, the kingdom of Lucifer comes into power. And there is no understanding or wisdom anymore. They are in intellectual darkness. They can't even perfect a medicine to cure or to heal. They can't even die to get out of the misery. The Bible said, pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth. Already they're getting to the place where they don't have healing medicines for a number of things. So then we see that here's the differentiating point. And the woman goes into the wilderness and the child goes up, which means Jesus into the heart of the earth, and the spirit goeth back to God who gave it when it separates from the body. So we see this in the spiritual, as the spiritual Jew, as to the end of the world for you and I. Because I want to say again, the angel came to Daniel, 500 years it was, that they call the Silent Ages. The Bible scholars call it about that time, according to the calendar, from the time that Daniel was down in Babylon until the Calvary, the AD. And the angel said, Daniel, Messiah is going to come, and he's going to make an end of sin. One day maybe we'll elaborate on that and just take that particular thing to explain what we understand of it. But he's going to come and make an end of sin. 483 years later, he came. Now, the whole thing was 490 years that was determined upon Daniel's people, which is the Jew. But here only 483 years of it comes to pass. And Messiah is cut off, not for himself, but to die for the people, as the angel said. And then all of a sudden, I tell you again, from that time, the Gentile age starts. The casting away of the Jews. The reconciling the world. That is, Jesus give his blood to take away the sins of the whole world. And them people out yonder are still under that blood right now. Like Judas was. Until the end, it'll be that way. And then the grace will be gone, the blood will be gone, and Satan will enter into them just like Judas. And that'll be the expulsion of the devil, even though Satan's already entered into them, many of them. But as long as they are without understanding as to religious things, then Satan cannot enter into them. They can obtain part of the ministry. They can obtain the blessings and be in heaven as to this realm. And I say again, the difference between heaven and hell, you know, you'll know when you get out of the presence of all the healing medicines and the blessings and eating and drinking and spending and buying, whatever. But we see that the dragon goes out. That means the blood comes off the seat of atonement. And the sun goes up to the third heaven. That is to say, the Christ caught up. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I've destroyed him that hath power over death. Not effective unto you and I till we're born into our generation and can come to our Calvary. So then, healing by his stripes you were healed. Back there, he's given us all things that pertain unto life in Christ Jesus. Back there, Calvary it is. But the thing is, you wasn't born into the world back there. You couldn't be partakers of it. This was given to us in Christ before the world ever was. But we can only be partakers of it when we are born into the world. And then God sends a minister for your age and he tutors you. And he says, now to your generation, all of your benefits are in Calvary. For this is your generation now. The same, the word of God, the same to a thousand generations. This is your opportunity now. Just believe and you can have anything you want. Just serve God. Believe and you'll be great and you'll be mighty. This is your opportunity now. Like I said, life passing through the stalk. I explained this in a past service. So then we see that what happened to the woman, the moon the law and the prophets. But when we come to Calvary, Jesus pulled the pillars down. No more the law and the prophets. Just Jesus. Just Jesus. See, you're not the law and the prophets. The Bible said we conclude, therefore, that a man is justified without the deeds of the law. Who are you? You are the Lord Jesus Christ. His body, his members in particular, and he is the head of it. And he alone is in that light most precious as to this understanding, which means revelation, all the revealed, when the veil is rent in twain. Because as I say again, as to the moonlight, that goes back to the veil over Moses' face. And the Bible said, though that light was great, as to the law and the prophets, God doing great things, yet it hath no glory by reason of this glory. As to Calvary, the unveiled glory, it hath no glory as to this glory, which is the light of the world, unveiled, which excels all of that of the law and the prophets. So then we see how great this thing is. Now, we're the children of light. Our light so shines that men see our good works and they glorify our Father which is in heaven. Paul, you're set as a light unto the ends of the earth. It is now out of the veil. The whole world can see this from the day stars dawning within our heart. So we see that the law and the prophets were until John. But now the end of the world has come. When? At Calvary. You're the people upon whom the end of the world has come. The end of the world has come. This is now the harvest. Jesus said the end of the world. The end of the world. The fullness of time. Time shall be no more, no more, no more. So then, in the fullness of time, God, sending his own Son, made of a woman, born under the law, made under the law, he comes in the fullness of time, which was, of course, at Calvary, and gathers all things in heaven and earth into that body. Well, that is, he says, from this point on, hear ye him. I'm going to look at you through the blood, all the world and everything else. I'll never look at you any other way because the life is in the blood. And I'm the life, and this is the only blood that's left for life to dwell in. Because all flesh is corrupted this way. Before God, at the end of all flesh has come up before me, as it was in the days of Noah, he said, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. This is as the waters of Noah to me. All flesh is corrupted its way before God. So he has to look at us through the blood. As long as the blood is on the seat of atonement, as long as the blood is on the mercy seat, then everybody is safe. But beloved friend, it isn't going to be that way with them that are without. They have a blood of their own. And that blood is a defiled blood. And that blood goes through each member. And it's called the red dragon because it is a blood life that has corrupted itself. And Lucifer, not God, the spirit of life lives in it, as in the life of Jesus. Of the blood of Jesus as unto eternal life, or many members as to a new family, not as the family of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That family tree is cut out, but the family of the tree of life beginning at Calvary, the root and the offspring of David. That is the root to this tree of which ye are a membership, as to the branches that bear fruits unto life. I wish we had time to elaborate on it. Great is the mystery of godliness. But anyway, let's say this. So then what can I say? The Bible said, and Jesus Christ is the beginning of the creation of God. I would say, no. No, can't be. I'd say, you made Adam. You created Adam. You created Adam back there in the garden. And here you are telling me that Jesus is the beginning of your creation. No, that can't be. But see, I tell you again, God did not sow the tare. God didn't sow the tare. How then are you going to say that that was his creation? No, God didn't sow the tare. It is a true fact that when God made Adam and made Eve, that that was the act of God. But then who was Adam? The Son of God. Let's give the Lord a hand. So then the Son of God was lost. The sonship was lost. And the natural man Adam became guilty just as any other. And in Adam all die. But there came a day when that sonship as to Adam, that Shekinah illumination, we call it the inner man, that man that was the outer man, not as to Adam's flesh of the dust, from the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt go back to, and you are a worm, Jacob, and that serpent as the worm will eat the dust, because that's what you live off of. If you don't get it, you can't live, because that's what you come from. And Jesus said, you're of the world. You came from the world. I didn't come from the world. I came from God. I go back to God. That is, I came from heaven. All right, so then what we're looking at is that that man that was the outer man, not the body, but the illumination as to the image in which the outer man was made as to the body. This outer man, which was the Shekinah illumination, which was God. Adam got out of that presence. And I say again, when you are of a spirit, you are numbered with the spirit. If you are of the spirit of the devil, as Jesus said concerning Judas, I chose 12, one of you is a devil. Then your body is a devil. If you are of the spirit of God, then the Bible said ye are gods, as of Christ, members in particular of his body, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. So while Adam was overshadowed as to the illumination here, then he was the Son of God. When the body separated from the illumination, then it left the Son of God. It left God, the great Spirit, in whose image Adam was made. And that great God, that great illumination, began to search down through the years, trying to get that body and redeem that body, because this Spirit needed a body to manifest itself in its realms of creation as to trees and fish and birds, and to be the head of this as the king of his creation, that he might be life and the abundance of life within all of this, that it might continue. Take the life out of a dog, he rots. The life out of a tree, it rots. God has got three ways of projecting life: the water world, the blood world, and the spirit world. As to blood, water, spirit. Now, we could say a lot about that, but anyway, we just have to go and finish just a little thought here. So we find out that this Shekinah image pursued until it found this body again at Calvary. So when it found this body through the virgin birth, then the body came forth. That ended the world. Now we've got the beginning of the creation of God. This is that he created in the beginning. Jesus was then the first brother of many brethren. And from that, through the blood, through Jesus, today he has the God family of the great family tree of life. That is to say, you are a tree of life. Adam was a tree of knowledge of good and evil, and the Bible said, in the day you eat thereof, ye shall die. Adam, thus he become the tree of knowledge to know good and evil, and yet couldn't perform good. And when I would do good, Paul said, evil is present with me. I find that I would do inwardly, I do not. That I would not do outwardly, that I do. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He blamed it on the body, saying, within my flesh there's no good thing. Satan has entered into the body. So Jesus killed the body at Calvary, coming in the image of sin, folded it up, took it away. That was the end of the world. That was the end of the world. See, because when Adam and Eve was in the garden, that was paradise, that was heaven. The earth was without briars or whatever. And then when they came into view as being overtaken by Satan, and Satan living within them, then the body that God had prepared for himself to have control of all of his creation, here was Lucifer living inside of that body in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God and controlling all of the universe, even to the weather, everything. So then God was on the outside in the Songs of Solomon. When Solomon's making love to God, he said, and he's on the outside, and the dew drops of the night are in his locks. And he's knocking at the heart's door, asking to come in. For God stands at the heart's door. He knocks. Whosoever will open unto him, he will come in and sup with him. We call it supper, the Lord's supper. But he comes in and sups. So then, the Lord Jesus, that great Spirit, that great invisible one, finally found his body. This body, he has a lamb he took to Calvary, was delivered for our offenses because I had offended, and raised again from the grave for my justification, that there might be peace on earth, his blood to take away the sins of the world.
peace on earth and goodwill from God toward man. No more the wrath of God abiding on man. From Adam all the way down, sin was killing. All the way down, though they had not sinned, that's the similitude of Adam, yet sin still was killing them, because sin by one man over all people. And then when Jesus came, life by one man over all people. See, so we can understand that God had done a great thing. This is why sometimes I speak of the covering cherubs, which we can't go into that right now. We've got some tapes, we put a little on it. But it has to do with this at Calvary, the covering cherubs, Paul said, of which we cannot speak particular. So then we see, and staying with the theme of our thought here to try to close, because we took quite a long time already. See, from Calvary, that's the end of the world, folks. You're not of the world. I've chosen you out of the world. 483 years, the beginning of the Gentiles, bringing in America the new world to give us a symbol. We as spiritual beings through Christ before we were ever born, even before Calvary as to the Lamb slain in the foundation of the world, that was Calvary. And these things were given to us in Christ. Then at Calvary brought to light as the book was open. We could begin to read. Oh, that is the curtains open on the great drama as from the 483 years as that time all the way over to the last 7 years to make up the 490 that was determined upon the Jews, Daniel's people. That 7 years will be to the Jews. Someone says, I don't know, Brother Pipe, when the days of the Gentiles are going to be over. I wished I did know. I don't see how you could keep from knowing. If what John saw is the heavens rolling back as a scroll is the dividing of the 490 years, as to say 483 and then 7. And in between there is heaven, because you're chosen up into heaven. You're not earthly. The world ended. The fullness of time was there. The kingdom of God came. Since then, men have preached the kingdom of God and men are pressing their way into the kingdom. And today, you that are born again, you're in the kingdom. The child caught up to the throne. For the kingdom is the throne. That's where the crown is. See, and your spirit caught into Christ's spirit, which spirit is in you, means God, the great spirit, the kingdom within Christ's spirit, the fullness. And Jesus said, Father, they and me and I and you to make these one, even as we're one. So then we see that finally the great image came. And this time, down through the church ages, it is as though the Son is within the strength. For He entered into us through Calvary. Not as the woman with the garment as illumination, but into us. So then, the woman with the illumination, she goes into the wilderness. Why does she go into the wilderness? Because she has illuminated the strength of the Son. All she has of the foundation is the law and the prophets. So just as quick as the child is born, then the woman is in the wilderness, not an illumination. Because the illumination is heaven. The illumination is heaven. So then our spirit is interwoven with the illumination. The strength within us, the day star dawning on the inside of us. And we're changing from glory to glory as this great light is released from within, outwardly heavenly treasure in your earthen vessel. And it is through an understanding, a great wisdom of God, and it's changing you just like that, from glory to glory, until you're going to become eternal. It's going to make your body eternal. Well, anyway, when the illumination lifts, the woman goes into the wilderness because the child is born. The illumination was to the child. The child is the hope of the glory. When the child goes, then the glory is gone. So the woman goes into the wilderness for her purifying, as it is said in the Old Testament. And after that period of time, as to the tribulation period, she comes back to her king. She comes back to her husband. And then she's in the millennium with him. Israel, the head of the nations. Jesus and the 12 apostolic leaders sitting on the throne. John said, I saw, and behold, there was thrones. And I saw them that sat upon these thrones. Which means the 24 elders or the 12 apostles. They asked the Lord one time, they said, what will we get? We've left all to follow you. He said, when I sit upon my throne, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones beside me, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Each one having a tribe. Each tribe having a head. Alright, so then we see what a beautiful thing God has done. And the beginning of the creation of God then is not with the beginning of Israel, but with you and I in Christ. In Christ. When the illumination of God is no more heaven. Now I say when the blood comes off the seat of atonement, all of a sudden the woman's in the wilderness. You understand? Which means that the woman big in heaven was no more than an illumination. Whereas you are in heaven. As to the Spirit being poured out upon all flesh, you're in heaven. As to the illumination, to give the Jews time to bring forth as to come to Christ. But you being born to the Spirit, you're more than illuminated as to the outpouring. The outpouring was to woo you to God that you might receive the seed as to a divine conception as a virgin to bring forth Christ. For I travail till Christ be brought forth within you. Paul said, till he be formed. So then the woman, she goes into the wilderness, which means across the Jordan at the time of the Antichrist to hide away in those places on the other side of the Jordan, which is called the cities of refuge, because there's some on that side, because some of the tribe stopped on that side toward the wilderness. And she goes over the Jordan, that's accounted for as into the wilderness. All right. Wait, you know where the Bible said in, after the child's born, the armies of Lucifer pursue this woman and God fights for the woman and all of a sudden something, a flood swallows up the army and the woman flees right on into the wilderness, into a place prepared for her for a time and a half a time, 3.5 years, which brings it as to say from the middle of the week on. Because, see, it happens in the middle of the week that the covenant is broken. And we've told you that the covenant would have to do with Europe and the common market. And we told you how that Israel, we got it on tape here, how that Israel will get entangled in it. And how that this thing will swallow them up. And the covenant will be as to that period of time, 7 years. Because this will happen at the beginning of the tribulation. And I tell you again, according to the calendar, the tribulation is right on you. And of course, what we preach to you and what we've read to you as from the news medias, it shows that the European thing falls at the very time that calendar-wise the tribulation starts. They give it just exactly. And the covenant is made for 7 years. And in the midst of the week, the covenant is broke. And of course, we can't go into all that, but we've got it on tape as to explain some of the detail on it. All right, so then we see what a great thing. I say over and over, what a great, mighty thing this is. As in that vision when I said, folks, look at these things in heaven. I'm looking at all them things in heaven. I was caught up. I was caught up. And I was in heaven. And I was looking at these beautiful things. And I was looking at the mass multitudes on the earth. Kind of like now we're caught up with the revelation going up today. As it did last Sunday, 22,000 miles up, I was between heaven and earth standing there. And I was looking at that great multitude. And I was saying, don't you see, don't you see, look at the beautiful things in heaven. And folks, I look at them all the time. But they didn't see them. But I know that after tutoring you here at Bethlehem for quite a long while, some of you are bound to see some of these heavenly things. It's heavenly treasure in your earthen vessel. Those heavenly things that I saw, you can actually have them in your earthen vessel within you. So then we see Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we see that the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom preached. I'd love to go on and on, but I know I'm going to have to close. Since that time, the kingdom has been preached. You are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. So that means that now you're the children of the resurrection. You're the children of the resurrection. And here we are in our generation in the fullness of time. And here we are in this generation to discover, to search out like a miner. One man might have discovered a gold mine 10 years ago. But now, just as of, when was it, Frank? Yesterday, day before yesterday, we get some kind of little book from the government or whatever, and they tell us where we can pan gold and where we can find gold. Shows the places where we can go get it. That is definitely there. See, but if I went out there as a prospector, it would be in my day that I would discover the gold. So see, we're discovering now. We're discovering like a diver. We go down deep, deep, deep to the deep pearl, for the great pearl, for the Bible said, and we The Spirit of God searcheth out the deep things. So we are children of heaven. We're not waiting for a rapture. A Christ, which is in heaven, that went up from the body at Calvary, he said, I'll come back and get you. And he came back and got me. That where he is, he said, you'll be there with me also. So then I went away with him. I went away with him. And he said, in my Father's house there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I'll come again to receive you unto my own, that where I am, there you may be also. So then he went away. Then he said to them that look for me, I will appear unto them the second time without sin unto salvation. As the Christ, Pentecost, he entered into my heart. At the supper, he said, I'm eating this with you. Like Joshua crossing the Jordan, prepared victuals, had to do with the supper. And he said the supper, pointing back to the Jordan, going over to the harvest. That is to say, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Because that's what the supper was all about, the crossing of the intellectual. As getting away from death, that's what was caused by that Adam and Eve had conceived on. So then when we see that at the supper, he ate with the disciples. He said, I won't eat this again with you until I eat it anew with you in the kingdom of God. And sure enough, it was a few days later that the kingdom of God came into the earth and came into the heart of men. And Jesus at Pentecost entered in as the Holy Spirit, as the great Holy Ghost, into them, into the kingdom of God within them. There it was. And he began to sup with them. Another supper. I knock, I'll come in and sup with you. And there the wine was there. They accused him of being drunk off of the new wine. So he entered in to the kingdom and he ate anew with them. Now, as down in Egypt when they had to eat the lamb, and you know we've got some teachings on that. I'd say just a few more things and I'm going to try to close. So then we understand what the Lord has done. You are in heaven. You're not waiting to be raptured. The Spirit returned. It took me, the inner man, and it translated me into the marvelous kingdom of God. Because that's what Jesus did at Calvary, brought the kingdom. And now thy kingdom come, thy will be done, Heavenly Father, on earth as in heaven. So when the kingdom came into me, in my life, his will has been done on earth. As much as I've been able to perform it, and trying to grow into a greater thing, as a little child into the full measure of the full stature to his satisfaction. So then Christ, coming into the body, supped with them. That Shekinah illumination, that image, at last found its bride. Because the body is the bride and the spirit is the male. And it married it. It entered into it. But before it could enter in, the Bible said, before you enter into a man's house, Peter said, as long as you're in this little house, or tabernacle, when this is dissolved as the tabernacle in the intellectual wilderness, we have another house. Eternal in the heavens, not made with hand, which means the body of the Lord Jesus. Before you can enter into a man's house and spoil his goods, you must be strong enough to bind the strong man. Then you can bind him and take all that he's got. Satan cannot enter in and bind Jesus. But Christ entered in and bound him to whom the house belonged. And cast Lucifer out, Paul said, within the body. There's no good thing. He killed the body, folded it up, laid it away. And he said, now Satan fell from heaven. Because as long as that body was one with that spirit, Satan was in heaven, as you saw in Revelation 12. But when the veil was rent in twain, like when we was a boy, we'd bust a log open, split it open, put that wedge in there and split it open. We'd see the heart of it then. When the veil was rent in twain, the Ark of the Covenant appeared, which was the Christ. It was then seen as to this light most precious, seen by eyes of understanding. John saw it that way. See, it was now present for them people that was made for that rim. And when he split it, made it himself twain, both the Lord and Christ, he folded up the outer me and the outer you, the old body of sin, the wretched man, the body of this death. He folded up, he laid it away. My spirit went back to God who gave it, for he translated my spirit into the marvelous kingdom of God. And now
The bond child, as to the first born of Adam, is not heir with the free child, as to Isaac, the son of promise, which is a supernatural thing, as to Christ been formed within you. So then when we come up out of the watery grave, and that the old one has been buried, we're now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. It's not us living, but Christ living within us. And the life now is the supernatural life of God that we live by the Son of God, because we lost our life as a temporal life. The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. To be carnally minded, the tree of knowledge, is to die. But today we cannot die in Adam. That is the tree of death. You'll surely die. But in the tree of life, that is life. You continue to live. So those people have the sentence of death within them, and they die. Whereas we died at Calvary with the body, and the spirit went back to God who gave it. They die as the worm within the apple, the corruption from on the inside. Satan in the temple, having given themselves to him, they die as in Adam all die. The worm Jacob. But in Christ, all are made alive. So we are the tree of life. We cannot die because we pass from death into life. There is no death to us anymore. So then, we yield our fruit unto God as having our hearts in Christ and our fruits unto holiness, righteousness, and the end thereof, the eternal life. Living on the hallelujah side, as Dale said. All right, so then we see what God has done for you. Reckon yourselves then to be dead as to your body, buried in a watery grave, and your spirit in heaven. Walk like Christ. Talk like Christ. Live as those that are in heaven. Your members are now alive as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, seeing your change in Thessalonians, he doesn't see the corruption anymore. Satan went out with the body. The body is no longer in the illumination as heaven. Israel went out of the presence of God. See, that was the expulsion of Satan. So then Jesus said, I saw it go. When the body of death went, that was the end of it. Today we're not living souls, we're quickening spirits. For he is born to the spirit is spirit. So then we don't care for the things of the world. Come out from among them. Be a separate people. Touch not the unclean thing. I'll receive you, saith the Lord. All these things that you go to, sports and frolics and these kind of things, that's of the body, that's of the devil. That's Satan wanting those kind of things. He savors the things that be of the flesh, whether it's eating and drinking, buying, selling, money, sports, frolic, whatever it might be. That's what he wants, because he is the God of this world. And that world for you and I ended at Calvary. And now the God of our world, which is heaven, is the Lord Jesus Christ that rules from in our heart where the kingdom is as to the crown. See, he is the one. And he'll restore the millennium to the Jews as 1,000 years to bring that kingdom if they ask him at Calvary. Is it time for the kingdom? Times and season, he said, you don't know, God knows. So he brings in the millennium, and then after that 1,000 years to show that it wasn't God that brought death. Death didn't come by God, it come by man. Satan came in, he roots. Man dies. One day, 1,000 years, the day of his rest. To show that within one day, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Man lived to be 900 years old. Nothing above that. A little over 900, Methuselah. But beloved friend, we'll live that whole 1,000 years, that full day. And when we live that full day, that will end it. That will mean that those that are natural, even the Jews, have lived now the full day. The curse is now gone. No briars, no nothing. The beautiful thing, nothing shall harm in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. And it will be the beautiful garden of the millennium. And then all of a sudden, the illumination will return as to the glorifying of that which is inward, which will be the spiritual, and everything will fade away as to like a transparent city where you can see right through it. See right through you as to the greatness of God on the inside, and you're that beautiful, celestial, glorified body. See right through it. There's no walls of opposition. There's no shadows. And the beautiful interwoven colors of the rainbow, all colors, as science say, are in light. That light, most precious, will be interwoven with you and interwoven with the city. And that will be the celestial after the day is finished. Well, anyway, I'm just saying that God has done a great thing. I can't go into the stalk, the blade, as to the bad tare, the good tare. We mentioned something the other night on that. But it comes into a oneness as to the body to show the thing, and maybe we can explain it a little later. How many of you understand what I'm saying? All right, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the end of the world's come. That's been a heavenly thing. We went up to God. It's the Gentile age. The new world, America shows it in a type. And 490 years determined upon Daniel's people, the Jews, from 483 over to the next 7 years. When that 7 years comes in, it'll be an earthly perspective as to the Jews. He said, I looked into heaven and he saw this great multitude, which was us. And then he looked into the earth and here comes that 7 years back. The rapture taking place, we were in heaven. Here comes the 7 years back and he said he saw the 144,000 sealed that was in the earth. To pass through this tribulation of Regina Vanderchrist, God protect them as the body redeemed, Israel resurrected from the dead. So the casting away of the Jews, the reconciling the world, what we're receiving the Jews be but resurrection from the dead. So that means that the earthly perspective coming back in, the blood lifted off the seat of atonement, only you will remain in heaven and the wandering stars will fall. Third part of the stars falls from heaven. Satan wraps his tail around it, which means it's in the end time as to the beginning, the garden, the head of the beast, as in the end, the tail of the old serpent, the generation of vipers, the finishing up of them. And they're going to be intellectual enough that they're going to climb into heaven, make their nest among the stars, and they're going to cause the natural stars, which is just reflectors, as to nickel and rock and iron, those planetary bodies to fall. And only the true stars that are fire, balls of fire, as the day star will continue to show that in the physical, in the spiritual, and in the natural. Water world, blood world, spirit world, all three of them run together. So we are in the end of the world, back to Atlanta. They called it holy. That's gross darkness covering the people. That means we're right there toward the tribulation period. And Mr. Bush's administration moves right down into it. We got some of this on tape. All right, let's stand together. So we see Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God. And this is the heavenly thing. And as I said, how can you help but knowing where the days of the Gentiles end? Because if it is from 483 over to the 7 years of tribulation, then it is the positive thing that at the beginning of that last 7 years is the end of the Gentile age. So the Gentile age is between 483 and the 7. He said, well, I still don't know. But if you read the book of Revelation, it tells you exactly when the tribulation period starts. The blood comes off the seat of atonement. And that is the end of the Gentiles. Read it. The seventh seal is open. Revelation 8. And then the angel takes the little censer, the coals of fire from the golden altar, puts it in there, mixes the prayers of the saints with that, and casts it down into the earth. And that's the end of the Gentiles. Lightning, thundering, bombs, and all these things. Very, very evident. The blood coming off the mercy seat. 30 minutes silence in heaven, which apparently meant everything stood spellbound. That thing happened about that blood coming off, all of them were spellbound. Silence, nobody could speak. And then comes the bombs, then comes the problems. All right, if you want to prove that wrong, that's good. When you prove it wrong, come tell me about it. In the meantime, if you don't prove it wrong, then let's go on from there. It's evident that God has wrought a great work on you, folks. You can't sin. There's no need of going around teaching people, you know, that they sin today and they sin tomorrow. The Bible said, he that sins is of the devil, for the devil sinneth in the beginning. He's the cause of all of it. There's no such thing as sin to a Christian. He that is born of God cannot sin. He stumbles, he staggers, he does all kinds of things. And to a person that's out in the world, that would be sin, because they are only illuminated as to the blood on the seat of atonement. And God doesn't even see their sins because of the illumination. But it would be sin, as in their heart, that when the illumination is lifted, then they'll be judged accordingly. But you, it's not an illumination. You have the safeguard on the inside, and the stained kink penetrate the fabric. So on the inside, Christ is interwoven with your spirit, and sin has to be of the spirit. Whereas Paul said, sinful flesh, there is no more flesh to you. You're not in the flesh. You're not in the body. You can't walk in the flesh. There is no condemnation to you because you walk not in the flesh but in the spirit, because you can't walk in the flesh. I've chosen you out of the flesh. I've chosen you out of the world. I've chosen you out of the body. I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the redemption of the body. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby thou art sealed, that is, your spirit is sealed, until the day of redemption, that is, redemption of your body. And that'll come with the law. Thessalonians changed when the Jews come back in. Paul said, to wit, the adoption of your body. Your body was of Adam, therefore it must be changed. Your name must be changed. Your identity must be changed. Jesus went through the fire to make it a new body, the God body. And when it's changed, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, if you have this hope in you when he comes, that's where you'll be changed. And when you're changed into his likeness, though you're already the sons of God, yet the world will be able to see. For now, beloved, are you the sons of God, doth not yet appear what you shall be, but when he shall appear, you shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Every man that hath this hope within himself purifies himself, even as he is pure. The hope of glory. It purifies our hearts with faith by that great Spirit. Cleansing, purging, sanctifying, the faith by which you're sanctified, like cleaning a pot on the inside. So it's very evident that you don't have to wait for a rapture. Your flesh profiteth nothing, that sinful flesh is gone. You cannot sin in the flesh because it's dead. And you cannot sin in the spirit because you are born of God, the spirit. And Satan can't touch your spirit. So you can't sin, period. Blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. That means you pass from death unto life. If the sting of death is sin and transgression of the law, the sting of death is by. If I die because of the sting of death, which is sin, then it is because I transgress the law, because transgression of the law is sin. No law, no transgression, no transgression, no sin, no sin, no sting, no sting, no death. Grave, where is thy victory? Death, where is thy sting? Sting, what happened to you? Jesus plucked it out at Calvary. Devil's just a big bluff. But remember, you're not going to be raptured. You're already raptured. You're already in heaven. You already made it up there. We're preaching to you to reveal to you who you are and what you are, that through Christ you was translated raptured. And when you went up as the man-child, out went Lucifer. Abba helped him fall as lightning from heaven. The only thing you're waiting for, rapture, of course, you will be raptured to the extent that your body will be caught up at the change. That's all rapture, the word rapture. Don't get scared about rapture and say, oh my God, they taught that for years and years. If I don't believe that, I'm going to hell. Rapture is a man-made application that some intellectual used when he figured out that when you leave the ground after your change, that you're going to be caught up in the air, and that means raptured, which of course you'll be caught up. The Bible said caught up, but don't use the term rapture. But anyway, if you want to say rapture, that's okay. But brethren, before you're ever raptured, you done finished your change. You're already celestial. You done gone through that glory to glory, that interchange. All that's over, and that's just, the term's rapture is just eating the church up. They don't even understand it. They don't take time to understand it. They just think they're standing around here, you know, playing volleyball and all these kind of things, eating, drinking, trying to get to be some dignitary in the community so they can make it nice on their community, you know, and on their church. And somebody says, well, they belong to the first church, you know, we'll go over there, doctor, dentist, lawyer, whatever. You understand what I'm saying? To drag those things into the church. Pardon my expression, I don't mean that wrong. There are good folks among them. When they're good folks are converted and they leave that mess, a good person will leave the garbage dump, come out from a world, be a separate person. If they continue in the garbage dump, then you know they're not a good person. They're a child that loves the world. The love of the world's in you. The love of the Father's not there. So then I'm going to close with this. You made it. I say that so often. And the world is gone. It's ended. The kingdom of God has now come. Let his will be done on earth as in heaven. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body. He said, but them people aren't just still. I know that. They're in heaven. Lucifer was in heaven, but you're caught up to a third heaven. Sea is to the uttermost, and the devil can't get to you. See, he couldn't get to that child. He could the woman, which means the body as to the Jew. Or your body, he aggravates your body. Sits in the wilderness of that intellectual wandering. But that'll be over after a while. That's just a place prepared. Graveyard is just a place prepared. He'll pick it up after a while. Reckon it says to be dead. See, but he can't get to you. He couldn't get to that child. Which means you keep yourself the inner child. Throne, he never touches you. He never touches that child. He aggravates the woman. But God cut him off. Like the land of Goshen, he's put a dividing line. The blood's there. Dividing the waters from the waters. That above the firmament and that below the firmament. The blood being the firmament. As to Calvary between heaven and earth, there's something between us that are elevated up and those that are elevated down or de-elevated. Let's sing a little chorus together. Great is the mystery of godliness. Took a lot of explaining, a lot of detail. But you'll get it, the children of God. The others, Satan blinds their eyes of understanding. They'll never understand it. Too deep for them. Too great for them. The Bible said when good comes, they'll not understand. Satan has blinded their eyes, even their eyes of understanding. They can't comprehend the height, the depth, the width, or the length. Because if they could comprehend, that would be faith. And faith is what translates your inner man to keep him from seeing death. As it translated Enoch's outer man, caught away Elijah and Moses, to let us know by the natural side what God was going to do. And we could say a lot about that as to where they're at and what they're doing and what will happen to them. But you just realize that you're safe. The flesh profiteth nothing. So don't worry about it. Let's just go on. The law will come soon as to the Jews setting up, taking over. And the redemption of your body will be there because, as I said, you have to be adopted. As to the body, it has to be adopted. But inwardly, you've been born into the kingdom of God. Can't adopt until you have law. Okay, let's sing together, can we? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Savior. Sweep over my soul. While I sit at your feet, oh sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. The devil creates a little coal or whatever because he wants me to hack and hack. He does that, I'll go for days not do that, you know, outside the church. But when I start preaching, I steam up a little bit. I get hot. And that clears the system, and the devil knows that. And he just creates a little problem while you're trying to pray at night or whatever, causing just enough congestion so that you'll hack a little, and that'll interfere with the video, and that'll interfere with the audio, and those men just have to be wise enough to take it out and work it. You love the Lord? For I vanquished my soul. God's favor of rest, and I'll say, oh, you know what? He that has entered into the rest of the Lord has ceased from his own works. And when you enter into the faith of Christ, the believing in his righteousness, sincerely, then you won't worry about you're living good or bad anymore. You'll be at rest in your soul. You'll be so happy. Because with the heart, man believeth himself unto righteousness. He doesn't work himself unto righteousness. And you just rest in the Lord. And he's the wings beneath our, or the wind beneath our wings. As we soar high in our, like the great eagle, above the storm.
And I'll sail.
The wild seas no more. The altars are open if you'd like to come. And And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, in Jesus I am safe evermore, standing somewhere in the shadow. He's the only one who cares and understands. Bending somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, come home, it's supper time. In memories, see her standing yonder, and her familiar voice I hear once more. I hear the call for supper time up in heaven.
It's supper time.
I'm upon the golden shore. Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. You love the Lord? The songwriter said, memories I see her standing yonder. That is, when I was a boy in days of childhood. Then I see the mother standing, saying, come home. Come home. It's supper time. I've seen that many a time. I've heard that many a time. The old bell rang many a time when I was in the field, way off from the old home place, way down in the fields. You love the Lord? To love him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul. This is what the Lord wants. And let's sing this little chorus, sister. Come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will light, and your days will brighten if you come a little closer to the Lord. I remember, brother, when I was like you, traveling down a road of sin, with my head hanging low, trouble in my soul, looking for the day it would end. Then an old-time preacher came a-calling one day from the Bible. Come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to me.
heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten if you come a little nearer.
Can you sing that with me? So come a little closer, just a little closer. Oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten,
and your days will brighten if you come a little closer.
So I came a little closer, just a little closer, and I came a little closer to the Lord. Oh, my heavy load is light, and my days bright since I came a little. Can you sing it that way one time? So I came a little closer, just a little closer, I came a little closer to the Lord.
My heavy load is light, and my days were bright when I came a little closer to the Lord.
So I came a little closer,
just a little closer, little bit
closer to the Lord.
Heavy load was light, and your days were bright
when I came. Can you sing more time? So come a little closer, just a little closer, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten if you come a little closer. Just one more time. I came a little closer, came a little closer, just a little bit closer. My heavy load is light, and my days are bright when I came a little closer to the Lord.
Can you give the Lord a hand? Come a little closer to the Lord. That's what I want to do. Let me get a little closer to the Lord. That's what we need to do. Let's lift our hands up and close our eyes. I'm going to ask Brother Ron Clyde to come and dismiss. While Ron's coming to pray, let's everybody just decree in our heart that we're going to come a little closer, a little bit closer to the Lord, so that the heavy load can be lightened and our days can brighten up.